irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
See, we came in and you wanted to play Party Like It's 1999.
Yeah.
Dedicated to Prince.
That's right.
I wanted to play this one.
Oh, why didn't you say
it? It seems more appropriate.
Why did you say that? Oh, let's play it.
Well, I am.
Well,
it's
here we
actually
go.
Playing right now.
Let's do it.
I just thought this would be more appropriate.
Well, let's not talk over it.
That's his motorcycle.
I was like, that's not in the track.
There you go.
Another applause.
Oh.
Why not?
Why not?
Were you a Prince fan?
I was. I was a Prince fan.
Dude, what a badass. I mean, what a badass musician. Did you ever see him play live?
No. Hell no.
Dude, he was, seriously, he was one of the best performers I think I've ever seen in my life. I saw him 9 times, and I got to meet him once. And I have it's a crazy story. So I went to see Parliament Funkadelic when I was in music school.
Yeah.
I think it was, I know this sounds really cliche and weird, but the year was 1999. And I didn't realize it until now that I look back on it, and I'm like, oh my God, it was 1999 when this happened. So a friend of mine who worked at House of Blues was like, hey, there's going to be some special guests. You should definitely come to the House of Blues tonight. Parliament Funkadelic is playing, and Dr. Dre and Eminem are going to sit in. And I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. So I brought a bunch of friends. We all went, and then they never said it. And I was, like, so bummed. And she was like, they're actually upstairs in the foundation room smoking joints. They're not going to sit in, but they're here. And
I'm like, look at them.
So I was so bummed. And all my friends left, and I was just sitting there, and I was just like, damn. And I was just about to walk out. And as I was walking out, security guards bust open the door upstairs, and you see a bunch of guys in blazers, like security guys, coming by. And then you see this little dude in like a sparkly red suit. And like he literally like walks right by. And I just see him through all these black suits. And so like I literally walked like into the doorway and just walked into that little area. And right after I walked in, I remember there was a guy that just like put the like velvet rope and like nobody was allowed to cross. And all the security was like they were like securing all the perimeter around him. So like they all had their backs to, you know, Prince. So Prince is sitting like 3 feet from me. And I was like, I just sat there and like froze. I was like, it's just me and Prince sitting 3 feet from me. Like, what do I do now?
So you're the only two in the room?
Yeah, well, we're upstairs in the like where all the tables are. Right. There's a bunch of people, but we're like one of maybe six people in this little area. But no one's standing or sitting next to him. Like, he's just like watching the show sitting, and I'm standing like maybe 2 or 3 feet right behind him. So like this was, I mean, I haven't had a drink in like 15 years. This is how long ago this is. So like I'm sitting there and I had been drinking. So I was like, man, I can't just go up to him and say something. Like, you know, I got to do something. It's Prince, you know. So all of a sudden P-Funk started playing Flashlight and I started singing my ass off. And Prince looked and he did one of these. And then I was like, oh my God, I got a reaction. So I started singing every lick I could possibly like throw out there. And then he started singing, and I could hear him singing like little lines and singing words and harmonies. And I was just like, what the fuck? And I was like, I gotta do something else. So I stood next to him and I just started moving my feet a little bit. And like he was looking at my feet and he had one hand like this. And then he started dancing in his chair, like moving his feet. And I remember I could not stop taking my eyes off his shoes. Because he was in heels. He was in platform heels. They were red. It was a red suit with a red, you know, blazer and everything. Red shirt. And he was wearing these pink, I mean, I'm sorry, red heels that looked like they had, like, peacocks on the ends of them. It was, like, this ornate design. It had, like, swirls and, like, precious stones. And I remember the funniest image was he had, like, these little pantyhose socks where I could see his two little toes, like, poking through the top of the heel, you know? So, like, I saw him move his feet, and we were singing kind of back and forth, and I was like, just leave. Like, something inside of me is like, leave right now. Like, leave right now. Don't say anything else. That's as great as it's going to be. So I just, like, bolted. I was like, dude, I just had a nonverbal communication with Prince, and it was, like, unbelievable, and he was, like, amazing. Fast forward to 6 years later, I saw him play the Musicology tour at Staples Center, and I just was like,
and you like screaming from the audience. Remember me?
No. I was like, I watched him perform. He played the most insane guitar solos, danced his ass off, had the most insane band, and I was like, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? Like, you're such an idiot. Like, I was just like, man, I was like totally like mouth agape. Like, had I seen him perform before that night, I never would have done that. But something inside of me in that moment, it was like, just go for it. It's cool. It was
Jack Daniels.
It was. It was the liquid courage, for sure. But I'm glad I did it now.
Sober Nikhil never would have done that.
Dude, I know. Sober Nikhil never would have done that. Exactly. So it was an amazing moment. It was actually a really cool thing. But the funny thing is, I never forgot those heels. I was like, man, I've never seen shoes like that. Because they were like, they weren't like totally feminine.
Only he as a straight man could get away with that.
And dude, and like the crazy thing is I've seen him dance in those heels better than I've seen any girls dance in any heels.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is like, you know, when you're playing guitar solos and you're digging in, like your body is so into it. You know what I mean? So like just the balance factor that guy had like on heels playing guitar or dancing around, and he was like moonwalking, doing all this crazy footwork. To do that all on heels, I was like, dude, that's crazy. Mm. So he was a huge influence on me. Made great records. He had the best band. He had the best guitar tone I've ever heard, like, in a lot. And I've seen some great guitar slingers or players. But that guy, man, he's just...
people don't even realize the amount of songs he wrote for other people.
Yeah. Like Manic Monday.
Yeah, you don't realize how great he was. You just people think, like, oh, you just did Purple Rain. I'm like, no.
Did you know that he named Carmen Electra?
I didn't know that.
So he was dating her when nobody knew who she was. He named her, which is kind of crazy. He actually named a friend of mine too, which is really weird. So she was a music student, great singer.
Yeah.
Her name's Ashley Davis, but she became like Prince's protege, and he named her Tamar Davis. So I was like, dude, like he named you.
Didn't his other protege just die?
Who's his other protege?
Was that his protege?
He's had a couple.
What's her face? She was in the Last Dragon.
Not Apollonia.
What was her name? She had a song, Nasty.
Oh, Nasty Girls?
Yeah. Or Nasty Boys?
No, that's Jan Jackson.
No, but the other one, Nasty.
Nasty. Nasty.
She just died like a month or two ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
What was
that's
her name?
Weird.
I forget.
Well, the weird
I thought
thing
she
is
was a Prince protege.
You know, like, I don't want to ruin anything about his legacy, you know, with, like, there's all these rumors about how he died. The guy came in and left the world with the greatest music, Yeah. Played with the best bands. He like totally owned all of his like masters and did things in the business realm. Like you can't find a lot of.
I heard that crazy stat that he's got so much unreleased recorded music that he could release an album every year
for the rest of time.
For the next century until the really? For the rest of the century, he could release a new full length album every year. It's something like 11,000 unreleased songs.
That doesn't surprise me, though. I mean, the guy was a badass.
Yeah.
And he was, like, super prolific. Yeah. And it was, like, the one thing I do respect about him, it wasn't all just about hits. Like, he missed a lot, but he just, like, did it anyway.
Well, when you make that much music, you miss a lot.
You're going to miss a lot.
Yeah. You're not going to make... I mean, come on.
But he was tremendous. I mean, the guy was an unbelievable music force, and he left the world with some great, like, live shows. Mm-hmm. He impacted so many people.
You never
would have
known of this.
And, you know, the crazy thing is, like... You know, the Forum was going to close, and then he did those 21 shows at the Forum. So he basically revived the Forum from being, like, you know, closed down and just basically knocked down. And then, like, with all the Baltimore stuff that happened,
yeah.
He went over there and did concerts for people. Like, you know, the guy who did a lot of humanitarian stuff never had, like, any kind of lawsuits or any bad press.
And without Prince, you never would have heard of the time.
We go. That's good shit. Hey, that's good shit, good man. Stuff.
Jungle Love.
Come on, Jungle Love. I just saw them, too. No, but, I mean, that music, that vibe, that sound, I mean, that's... You wouldn't have Uptown Funk without that sound.
I remember watching Purple Rain when I was a kid.
In your heels?
In my heels. And I was watching with my folks. Like, it was on HBO. And it was the first time I'd ever seen a sex scene. I'd seen a sex scene before, but I'd never seen a sex scene...
Like that.
With my parents in the room.
That's not a sex scene.
So that's the last memory I have of Prince. It's the first time I saw a sex scene with my parents in the room.
Funny little story. I did a cover and tribute for Prince of Cream because I knew everybody was going to do like all the biggest songs. So my parents were like, "This is great," and my brother was like, "You should Google the music video." I was like, "No! Don't do that!" But anyways, yeah, Prince, we love you. You're forever a musical force and influence on us all. So, anyways. I think our special guest has arrived, Miss Melly Malavasi. Say hello.
Hello.
Oh, our studio audience loves you already.
How are you? I'm very good. Thank you. How are you doing?
What have you been up to?
Well, a lot of good stuff. You know, just a lot of new music, a lot of shows, a lot of upcoming live shows as well.
Let's talk about, you just won a cool award. Let's talk about that real quick. Before we get into your story.
What award?
Yeah, she won something cool. Say it. Go ahead.
So I won Best Female World Music Artist, and basically is by the Indie Music Channel Awards.
Woo! Awesome. Our audience loves you.
Thank you.
We love a winner.
So the Indie Music Channel, basically, it's like an organization that dedicates to help a lot of independent artists. It basically, the idea came from a guy who basically was a DJ in
Brent
Chicago.
Harvey, right?
No, was it's Christopher. Of it? Christopher.
Okay. Never mind.
He was just a DJ in Chicago, and basically. He's like, I have all these great artists that I cannot play on the radio, and I want the people to get to know them. So that's how he kind of started the whole Indie Music Channel thing. And then he moved to LA, and, you know, this is like the fifth annual Indie Music Channel Awards he's been doing. And
did you get a statue?
Yes.
Nice. She did. It was awesome. I saw it on the picture.
Was there like a ceremony, a banquet or anything? Or is it
yeah,
just...
it's a little ceremony. It was actually at the Grammy Museum.
Wow.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, at the, well, Clyde Davis Theater, I guess.
Yeah. That's in the Grammy Museum. That counts. Come on now.
How many people were nominated?
Sorry?
How many people were nominated?
Well, there were a lot of categories.
Yeah. In your category, how many were nominated?
Yeah, maybe like 10 or something like that.
That's awesome.
It was like different categories in the world section, so, you know, a lot of people in that.
Were you prepared to fake smile if you didn't win?
Did you prepare a speech?
I actually did, because I had this thing in my heart. I was like, maybe I'll win. Maybe.
You're like, this is going to go in my favor.
You gotta be positive, you know? And I did. So I did prepare something small, not very, like, fancy, and, you know, but there's a lot of people that you need to
Did they have to play you off? Did they start the music up while you were talking?
Yes.
Like, all right, yes. Wrap it up, go.
Melly was one of my former students.
Okay.
She graduated, and I knew she was just going to conquer the world, and she's doing it. Like, she's doing it.
Award-winning musician.
That's right. So, Melly, you're all the way from Costa Rica.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Tell us, like, what got you started in music? What got you into singing, writing, playing? How did it all begin?
It all started when I was 4 years old. My mom got me into, like, piano music. Well, piano lessons, actually. And
you started
then,
with classical?
Classical piano, yep. And then a little bit of contemporary as well. And basically from there, I just started just playing random stuff on the keyboard and put in words. And I didn't know what the hell I was doing, but I just did it. And that's when it all started. You know, I remember playing with different sounds on the keyboard. It was fun. And then I started then singing lessons and then guitar. So it was kind of fun, you know. It all started with that. And every time that I had, like, an opportunity of performing in front of my peeps or in front of whoever, it was, I always, you know, I was like, can I go, please? It was very fun.
Like, I'm going to be a star. Can I go next? When did you know this is what you wanted to do?
It was actually hard. You know, because I didn't plan, I saw music as my hobby. I didn't see it as, you know, my career. But so I started, and I actually studied graphic design first. And I graduated from that and back home, and I worked for a while in that. And then when I was in
you design your own album cover?
Sorry?
You design your own album covers? Nice. Yes.
That's awesome. I was going to ask that.
Save some money right there.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
It saves you a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money. And this album specifically, I have here my friend Carrie, and she helped me a lot with that too.
Awesome. Yeah. Say hi, Carrie.
Hi. And basically, I mean, when I was, because my dad is from Italy, so I was like about to get my master's in design, basically, and I stood there in the university, and I'm like, this is not what I want to do.
He was like, whoa, 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 what?
What?
Why did you say something 3 years ago?
I mean, I didn't start the career, you know, but yeah, I didn't start the master's, sorry, but you're right. You almost killed me.
I would imagine.
He's like, well, that's it.
Exactly. That's me there a couple years ago. But, you know, at the end, they were just like, okay, well, work your butt off and, like, start applying and see if something comes up. And if not, you stay here and see what happens, you know. So I did that, and here I am. Yeah.
And so, she's a badass. Let's just start with having you play something. What are you going to play us first?
Thank you. So I'll play this song called Open Your Eyes. And it's basically about when we're having, like, a bad day, it's not as bad as we think. Getting big. I don't have
Eddie, you were moved.
Yeah, I need to open my eyes more.
You do need to open your eyes. See? What did it teach you?
It told me to open my eyes.
You know what?
I need to open
more. I like this. We need to have more people like this that
I know.
Impact your world.
I know.
Your daily...
So much negativity out there.
Yeah, I know. See? You're like a different person now.
Yeah.
Like, you're a person I can tolerate
right now. Yeah. I'm rainbows and unicorns right now.
That's the best. Awesome.
So, tell me, what was the inspiration behind that song?
One day I mean, I guess it all started because women, we are complicated as hell.
Really?
So, yeah.
Annoyingly complicated.
You know, just in case.
You can say crazy, too. It's okay. Yeah, no, I'm pretty crazy. I'm just kidding.
But it all started just, I just wanted to let it go. Like, some stuff is not as big as it is, and I have the opportunity of being here creating music every day, collaborating with artists I respect. I have the opportunity of, eating at 99 cents because I don't necessarily have much money to keep going, but I still do my dream come true, you know? And sometimes you just need to let it go, and sometimes, you know, that comes out in the song, in the form of a song.
Well, it's like music is such a therapy, you know what I mean? For I think it, like, it's for people, but I think for musicians it's even more therapy in a lot of ways because... A lot of those positive songs come from dark places.
Right.
You know, it's like it pulls you out of those spots. And so if you can do that for somebody else, that's terrific. It's like you both win. And that's what's great about a song like that. That's awesome. I really dug the chord progression. You have a shiny, nice guitar. Tell us about this guitar.
It's very sparkly. Yeah.
Very sparkly. They're like, it reminds me of Eddie's high heels.
Like a cocaine guitar.
That's the one.
Speaking of unicorns.
Yes, it's a unicorn, you know, on a guitar. It's a Daisy Rock guitar. I'm very happy because I'm sponsored by them, and so this is a beautiful gift they gave me, and I'm very lucky.
That's awesome. That's very, very awesome. So tell us, like, what's your writing process? Like, what do you usually write about? Do you write about things that you go through? Do you write about observations that you make in other people? Tell us things, like, what's your writing process?
Well, when I was younger, I used to write about my ex-boyfriends, Taylor Swift. but later on, you know, you kind of become an observer and a listener. And so I have in my phone, like,
Taylor Swift hasn't gotten there yet.
Very soon. No. but no, I like her songs, actually. But, you know, so I have on my phone a list, you know, a notepad of titles that just come to mind of, or if I'm having a conversation like with you guys or whatever and something comes up, I'll just write it. Or, you know,
do you normally start with a title and then write the song from the title? Or
sometimes I start with a title if it's a very strong one, and if not, I'll just start with like a chord progression either on the guitar or on the piano, and from there a melody automatically comes. And sometimes I'm in the shower and I'm just singing a melody and, oh my God, I need to put chords underneath and here we go.
Lightning strikes.
At any moment. It always changes. I used to be, you know, like writing only like a certain way, but then it just became like whatever comes, you know. I don't have necessarily a step-by-step process after a while, you know, but... It started with me chord progression, chord progression.
That's okay. Take your time. Take your time. Blah, blah,
blah. Do it in song. Just say it in song.
Very nice, Eddie.
Yeah,
there we go. Starts with a chord progression.
I've noticed on this doing this show for as long as we have, most musicians are more comfortable singing than they are talking.
It's true. You know what? Because it's like you put all your emotions in these like 3-4 minute songs.
Yeah.
And then when somebody's asking you questions or when you have to talk, it's like,
Well, I just noticed that with music. Like it's really weird with this show because I've noticed like we've had comics on the show and comics are very easy to talk. Like they talk very easily and they know how the microphone.
Well, because they're used to
talking.
But
like a lot of musicians we've had on the show, like they don't know where to sit with them. Like they don't, like it's because they're so used to singing and performing that it's so foreign to them to do the.
I think a lot of it too is like it's such a like with music, it's such an intimate thing.
Yeah.
Like within yourself, like you're letting out like your emotions out, like you're wearing your heart on your sleeve for 3 minutes. You're just like, here's all my pain. Yeah. Like,
well, I see that sometimes, you know? Like when actors get interviewed, just people are like solely actors and they get interviewed and they're all like shy and withdrawn. I'm like, oh, it's not.
You're how like, oh,
I thought you would be like,
But I can sing. Vivacious.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like you're out of your...
You know who's a perfect example? Prince. Yeah. So I've been looking at all these interviews of Prince, and he, like, you know, he's so outlandish when you see him perform. Then, you know, Larry King is like, yeah, I don't think so. It's like, whoa, dude, you're like super somber. Yeah, it's chill.
It's just really strange. Nice.
Melissa's like, are you guys...
It's like, is this the Prince show?
Oh, no.
I thought this show was about me.
No.
So you have a new EP coming out, right?
Yes.
When is this coming out, and how can people find it?
This is probably going to come out in August. The first thing that is going to... Well, the name of the EP is called Girasol, which is sunflower. The idea behind it is, just like a sunflower, you should always chase the sun anywhere you go.
Ah, nice. I like that.
More uplifting stuff.
More... Yes, you, Eddie, this is like the perfect show that you come back to.
You need to go to Costa Rica, because it's all sun,
Pura
it's waves.
Vida.
Pura vida.
You know? Yeah, it's very fun. You get to talk with the monkeys, you know, get to do friends. It's pretty fun.
Eddie?
I don't want to talk to you.
You know, you really could use some monkey talking. I think deep down, I think you could use some monkey talking.
I don't want to talk to monkeys.
Oh, God. I just think I have a gift to write songs, and I need to, you know, spread positivity, but also, you know, I talk about everything. I don't really have a specific thing. It's fun. I don't talk much about politics. That's the only thing. But
that comes later.
That comes
when you
later.
When you get older and you're just like, no, I think wait, I can change the world. Wait,
I think it's good for artists not to do political stuff. I mean, there's some artists that do.
Well, look at Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam does all the time.
I know, and I think some artists should do it, but I think it's fine when some artists choose to, like, look, I just want my music to be a break from the world.
Yes.
You know, because people are hit with that.
Yeah, I agree.
Like,
I agree.
I'm a comedian, I don't do political stuff, because people are just nailed with that stuff all day long.
Yes.
And you can find it when you want it, but, like, I like it when artists choose not to do political stuff.
Like a relief for everybody. I love it.
I'm going to fucking kill you.
All right, that's let's awesome. Talk about... You have a first single coming out.
Yes.
What's the name of it?
No Vuelvas Más. That's Don't Come Back No More, basically.
Eddie,
sorry.
Don't Come Back
Don't
No More.
Don't Come Back No More. is that a negative song?
No, it's not.
It's basically, you know, well, about this person.
It's
you
not
can
about
like
sunflowers, I tell you that.
It's not. I have to admit, you
it's
know.
Like, it's like positive affirmation, like, don't come back anymore.
But it also states, though, that, you know, everything will pass and you'll be stronger every day. You
just,
know?
I don't ever want to see you again.
Exactly. Like, get the fuck out. Thanks.
Have a nice life.
Well, here it is. Melly Malabasi. Don't come back no more.
Siempre en el olvido.
Take that, Eddie.
Good stuff.
Don't come around here no more.
No.
She's just yelling at you the whole time.
Get the hell out. Get the hell out.
The funny thing about a song like that in Espanol, it's just like, man, when they're feeling it, I'm just like, ooh, this is something.
Dude, I don't care what these words are. I don't have to.
She's mad. I don't even know what she's saying, but she's mad.
I have to know what these words are.
And you could be like, I love you so much, but like, you know, it doesn't. It feels like, oh, I'm gonna punch you in, you know, like I'm gonna punch you in the nuts. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like, the angst. I like it. Sorry, I'm just saying. This is my interpretation. You know.
It's true. We have that dramatic side. Yeah, it's true.
You wear your heart on your sleeve.
I do.
I like it. So are you playing out anywhere? Where do you play out around here?
Yes, I am actually playing tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Where are you playing?
Where?
At the Other Door in North Hollywood.
Where's the Other Door?
The Other Door is in North Hollywood, I believe, in Lancashire Boulevard. In that little...
What time?
It's at 9 p.m.
I'm at the Ha Ha Cafe at 8 o'clock. That's on Lancashire. That's like right near there.
Wow. Well, maybe I should, you know.
Maybe you guys should share audiences.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
You should just combine
them.
Move it.
But just I go on at 9:45, so yeah, just in case.
I'll send my people down.
Yeah. Be like, go there and then come back. And then you do the same thing. Go there and you perform for totally new people. I should manage you both. Yeah. Just like that. See?
Please.
Oh, this genius just
comedy and music.
It's awesome. I love it. And then I have another radio show, and then...
Hold on. Jeez.
Sorry. I was part of the deal.
God damn it!
Good one, Eddie.
I have another show on May 27 on Lake Avenue in
Pasadena.
Yes. Yeah.
Where is that?
So it's just going to be basically like in the street, and we're just going to be...
So just at the off-ramp on Lake Avenue.
Yeah.
Old Town, like right in Old Town?
No, like in Lake. So there's like this street called Lake, and so there's like...
You know I'm from Pasadena, right?
You are?
She's like, there's a street called Lake. I'm like, the girl from Costa Rica is telling me from Pasadena.
Well, I'm from Pasadena too. Like,
well, I actually grew up in Arcadia, so right next door.
Okay,
so.
Okay. I didn't know
that's okay,
that.
That's okay. So I was like, this is Lake Avenue. Yeah, tell me more about it.
You guys should fight about it.
Oh my god! But you know, yeah, it's in that little avenue there in that street. So specifically, I'll send you guys the details later on because it's like a month ago. Yeah, away. Right. Sorry. We'll see. But it sounds fun, and I'm still booking other shows, and it's pretty fun.
Tell me, like, what's the difference between like performing in Costa Rica and performing here? Like, what's the music life there, and how is it different than the music life here?
Well, it's very similar. I mean, back home, you got a lot of support from the friends and people you know and from the country as well. So that's always nice. Here, you have the support of your friends and the people who follow you as well. But because this is a much more, fast-paced city, then, you know, sometimes you don't have that many people showing up or whatever. But,
well, there's also 1,000 shows on any given night.
On any given night.
Right.
So every big city's like that, you know.
Right.
It's okay. It's okay. That's why you're on here.
But right here, you know, you have a lot of cool venues that, you know, back home is very, very selected. The venues that are, like, pretty big and you can play at. But here you have a lot of good options. And you had the opportunity to network and make friends with other musicians that would like to maybe collaborate with you. I feel back home, I don't have that much, you know?
Is there a big music industry in Costa Rica?
There is not. No, we don't really have, like, any labels.
I'm
going to
gong that.
I don't know. You're going to gong
a question? No, not the question.
No.
Just the concepts.
No.
No music industry. You're like, geez, what did I do?
We have pretty big, acts back home, and they've toured different parts of the world as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it cool. But I feel there has to be more support, you know.
Can you survive as a musician in Costa Rica?
Not that much.
Not really?
No.
That's not really like a profession you could have there? Like,
I mean,
you kind of have to leave.
You can play, just like here, it's very similar. Like, you can play for several gigs and you can make your money out of that,
right.
Of course. But there, I feel like there's a certain level.
There's a cap.
That then you're like, okay, so what comes next? Like, there's nothing else to fight for after this. So that's why I created my own independent record label, and she's actually, you know, helping me with that.
Very nice. Oh, our studio audience loves that.
What's the name of the label?
It's called Red House Music.
Red House Music.
Oh my God, yeah. Jimi Hendrix, Red House.
Awesome. And yeah, and you can check it on Facebook, Red House Music. And basically, I'm trying to bring opportunities for people back home, and also people here that I've been collaborating with artists, helping them write songs. And
look at this, chip off the old block. Can't you tell she's my student? I mean, come on, this is crazy.
Well, as a label, what do you do as a label?
Well, we have different sections. Like, we help artists with marketing, or we help artists with, you know, artist development, basically.
Right. Just connecting the dots, all of it. I mean,
yeah, and, you know, if in case an artist wants to come here and do a show, I recently had a friend of mine that I contacted, and he's an amazing drummer, he came and played with me at the NAMM show. So, you know, it was an opportunity for somebody back home. I just see this, like, growing every time, because I just, there's so much talent, but there's not venues, you know, there's not a venue. So,
Well, see, I love when artists do that. Like, I do that too. Like, I think it's so important, you know what I mean? It's like, as you get to, you know, bigger opportunities, it's like letting people, you know, share in those same kind of opportunities. That's what it's about. It's one of the reasons I wanted to start this show. See this, Eddie? You're learning. Awesome. It's all about glitter and unicorns. So let's hear something you recorded. I'm dying to hear this.
Sure. Well, this song is called... Well, this is the song that I...
Oops.
What are you doing?
Sorry. Didn't mean to have it.
I'm getting here. I'm starting my engine. Here we go.
I was getting excited. Jesus. this is making me nervous. I'm going to move your guitar.
Oh, okay. No worries. Basically, this is the song that won the award. It's called Noel Basmas. It was produced by Emmanuel Briseño, he's the musical director and keyboard player for a famous band called Juanes.
I saw them play at Made in America.
Yeah,
they were great.
They played at the Grammys last year, if I'm not mistaken.
They're like a very solid, like, Spanish rock band.
Yeah.
They have a huge following, like, all over Mexico, Spain, South America, Central America. They play, like, huge stadiums. And it's crazy because they come to play for American audiences, and it's like they don't have, like, the same connection to American audiences. But they put on these shows like they're this huge stadium act. You're like, you can't not respect this band because they are badass, you know? And the guy came to L.A. Odd thing is the guy came to L.A. to break.
Yeah.
Of all places. You know what I mean? It's like, it's amazing.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. No. I had to share that.
No. I love it, too. I like to hear it.
Woohoo! All right, so talk to us about the song. What's it about?
Well, this is the song I just played for you guys. But I want
studio
you to
version.
Hear it,
yeah.
You know, for the whole thing. And I was lucky enough to, you know, to the people playing on this track are people from the band, actually, most of them. So I was lucky enough to have that. And also, I just think, you know, my producer did a great job. So thank you, Emmanuel, if you're listening.
Gracias.
Although they play at the Billboard tomorrow, so we'll see.
All right, let's hear it.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Necesito estar sin ti. No vuelvas más.
she's really angry with you, Eddie.
She ripped that up.
Yeah. She's tearing it up. Oh, you hear that angst? I love it. Pura vida.
Calm down.
It's the espresso talking.
Yeah, I told you to cut back on those.
Dude, I'm on Sean.
You're going to ruin your life.
Oh, my God. So
anyways, that was awesome. I love the production on it. It was super cool.
Thank you.
Very
thank
groovy. You. Thank did you. You play? What did you play on it?
Nothing.
Nothing? You just sang?
Yes.
Oh, he didn't even let you play on it?
He played the keys and, you know, and he recorded all the instruments with the band, yeah. But life is going to be another study, right?
Okay, that's so. Right. That's right. So. You'll show him.
Yeah, you will.
No.
Oh, it sounds awesome. It sounded great. It sounded very cool. I loved it. It was very, very cool. Very angsty.
Yes.
I like the production. I like the electric guitars.
Yep.
They're doing very much like a Fall Out Boy-ish kind of vibe. Like,
yep.
He must be a rocker. He
yep.
sounds like a rocker.
He is.
Very pretty yep. piano playing. I actually thought that was you. I was like,
really?
I know she plays keys. Maybe that's Melissa.
I do that maybe live, that's... though. I do.
Okay, well, where can people find you? What's your website and all that good stuff?
Well, they can find me in melimalavasi.com.
Spell it out, because people are dumb.
Especially okay. with that. There's no sorry, way.
I know, it's a lot, I know. So, Meli is just M-E-L-I, and then Malavasi, M-A-L-A-V-A-S-I. So,
can I buy a vowel?
Yeah. or if you just type in Meli, M-E-L-I, it will pop up, you know.
Wow, that's yeah. amazing.
Yes.
You should get Meli.com.
I know.
Yeah,
I thought about it.
That's amazing.
So
Eddie's yeah. like, yes.
Yeah.
Do it.
No one can spell the rest of that.
Yes. I thought about it.
I used to have Nikhil.com and then some other artist. Yeah, that's tough for people.
Really?
It is.
And Nikhil's so not an easy word to spell. People don't know Nikhil.
No. But like to Indian people, it's like Nananinanjar. It's like off space.
Well, people don't know about the H. Some people forget the H.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
This is all true. And they don't know where to put it.
Yeah.
So I feel your pain, Meli.
Yeah,
I feel your pain.
If you Google it, just Meli, M-E-L-I, and probably there's going to be a Meli.com version.
So you're playing, you're conconquering the world.
Yes.
One city at a time.
Yes.
You're conquering the record business.
Yes.
With your label and your studio work.
Yes.
You're winning awards. Best world music, best female singer, etc., etc. Where do you want to go from here?
Grammys!
Wow.
Yes.
Well, you got to the museum. That's good. That's a good start.
Yeah, that's yeah. where it was.
You're called. Halfway there, kid.
Drop that museum part off and you're good.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, I just think... There's an opportunity for me at the Latin Grammys specifically, and that's why, you know, I'm waiting a little bit to release this EP because I think I can do it, you know, and I'll just try, you know.
I have a question just because I've been wanting to ask you this. Do you
yes.
prefer to write in Spanish or English?
I like both, you know. It's easier to write in English.
Really?
Yes, because there's less vowels, less stuff. Is English word... Words, they just come naturally.
The words are dumber. You can say
it. It's a dumber language. It's
no,
a stupider
it's
language.
It's an easier language.
It's an easier language. But you know what I love about like other languages outside of English? There are words that describe feelings.
Mm-hmm.
English doesn't have that. Like in the sense, like there are words like in German, schön means something so beautiful, way beyond beautiful that it is that word. Whereas English doesn't, it's like, no, we say beautiful.
No, we say dope.
Yeah, that's true. You say dope.
Dope. That's so dope.
You represent the like Caucasian
so dope.
Division of our listeners, dude. All the white guys are like, yeah, I say
bro.
Dope too.
I say dope all the time, bro.
Yeah. All right, well, let's play something else real quick. We got enough time for one more song.
Well, this one is called Por Tenerte Aquí, and it's just one of, I think this is my favorite song on the EP because it just is to have a special person in your life to, because in this case it was mainly for my family. Like I'm like, I wish I could have them here. I wish I could share this with them. But you know, that's why you write songs.
That's
and,
right.
You know, and it's a universal language, so everybody can just interpret it how you want it.
Well, here it comes.
Here we go. Oh my God.
Thank you. te pienso. Estar junto a ti, escuchar tu voz, eso es todo.
Favorite track you played.
Right?
That was awesome. That was good.
Very nice. Very nice.
On behalf of Meli Malavasi, say hello one more time. Say aloha, pura vida, whatever
aloha,
you want to say.
Pura vida.
There you go.
Los amo. Thank you so much for being here. Love you all.
And we'll have you back for sure. Eddie, I'm going to miss you.
I'll see you.
I'll see you
tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.